Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
This is the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Walter Storholt alongside David Dickens, president and wealth advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you throughout Kansas City with an office right there in Overland Park. You can find David by going online to coveryourassetskc.com. Listen to past episodes of the podcast, check out the blog, and much more, all at coveryourassetskc.com. David, I was excited to see today's topic that you had pulled out for us. We're talking about scams on today's show. Everybody loves a good scam story, but nobody ever wants to be a part of one. Is that a pretty good...
That is really well said, Walter.
Like, who doesn't like listening to a story of the scam? Everyone's on the edge of their seat. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe that. Oh, and everyone's had something similar almost happen to them, right? Like, oh, or know somebody. Oh, I have a brother-in-law or something like that.
I know a guy. Oh, really?
But this is a real thing. So, I mean, it's not just some boogeyman that's out there. This is a topic that I know you get a lot of questions about from folks that meet with you. And I'm even more in tune to this conversation now, David, because my grandparents just this past Christmas had me look at some suspicious emails when we were visiting them. And sure enough, someone was trying to scam them. And so I was just like, I'm really in tuned into this because I'm one of those guys now that knows a guy that, you know, has gone through this. So I'm looking forward to what you've got for us today. Are we covering some of the top scams or scams particularly related to the coronavirus situation we've had going on?
Well, I guess it's actually a blend. Every scammer in the world knows that a whole bunch of Americans just got $1,200 put right into their checking account from the government. And there's probably more coming with these stimulus payments. So the scammers know that and they are very excited because that's money they can go get and that's their business and they're getting super, super good at it. So what I wanted to do today was cover the two most common types of scams and then four ways to spot a scam, just to kind of wrap up the four really good ways that you can spot a scam if you're in the middle of it. So that's where I wanted to go today.
I love it. All right, well, let's start with part one there.
Okay, so the most common is by phone. So do you remember, Walter, you're a lot younger than me, so this may not, you may not actually know this. But in the old days, when you had a house phone and a cell phone, your house phone was where all the scam calls came in, and you just felt really good about your cell phone because nobody had that number. Do you remember that, Walter?
It might be the opposite now, yes.
It is.
That's where my broadcasting career started, David, was answering the home phone. Hello, you've reached the Storholt residence. How can I help you?
Gee, I had one of those too. I didn't sound nearly as good as you.
Well, I often got, yes, ma'am, we can certainly, we'd like to speak with so-and-so. So I got a lot of ma'ams, which, you know, as a little 8-year-old, you don't want to hear.
So the scammers have found out what our cell phone numbers are. So the good news is, though, on pretty much everybody's cell phone, you have caller ID. So the first thing to do with phone scams is, look, I have clients that do this, but I absolutely do this. If the call coming in is not one of your contacts, don't pick it up. Don't pick up the phone.
Just that simple.
Just that simple. If it's unrecognized and it's important, they're going to leave a voicemail. And if it's not important, then either they're not going to leave a voicemail or it was a scam call. So that's number one, is don't pick up your phone unless you know who's calling, because these guys are getting really good and really frequent. And just because it says, in my case, 913-220 and then some other four digits, well, that's the beginning of my cell number, and the scammers are able to put those kind of numbers in and make it look like it might be someone you know. So that's number one, don't pick it up. Number two is, if you do pick it up and they say they're from the IRS, they're not. So the takeaway there, and you put this in your newsletters and your blog posts, we've probably said it on a podcast, the IRS will not call you. They just don't do it. They'll mail you. So if you get a call from the IRS claiming that you owe back taxes and they need money today, hang up. It's also highly probable that your bank or your credit union will not call you. And so in any of those instances, what you want to make sure that you never do is give out account numbers or passwords or PIN numbers. So don't offer your personal non-public information to someone who calls you, whereas if you call your bank and they need some of those things to verify, well, that's perfectly fine because you called them and you know that you got their number. So I have a client who got a call from her bank, supposedly, and it was a credit card fraud alert, supposedly. And, you know, she immediately engaged because nobody wants their credit card to be violated. And but after just not very many minutes, she got nervous and she hung up and she called the bank back based on the number that was on the back of her credit card. I thought that was pretty smart of her. And they verified, nope, that was not us. And so what then the final thing she did was she went back onto her cell phone and blocked that phone number. None of that is foolproof, but she did a great job of being suspicious. And once the thing started sounding a little bit funky, she remembered, okay, this was an incoming call. I'm going to hang up and place an outgoing call to a number that I know is my actual credit card company. So good for her.
Yeah, that's sharp. I feel like those bank ones, all of us have probably had that, something similar at one point in time. I had one time, David, that was so tricky. It sounded like it was just a normal person who legitimately could have been from my bank. And then when I even Googled the number, at first glance, the Google search made it look like it was a number tied to the bank. So it seemed even more legitimate. But if you dug a little bit further, it was just basically all smoke and mirrors, and it really wasn't. But it was quite a clever scam that even if you Googled the number, it still looked like it was associated with the bank.
So I think that's super instructive because you're young, you're smart, you're tech savvy. I'm aware because I'm in this business, but there are a lot of people who take things at face value pretty quickly. And I think the important thing here is be suspicious, especially with incoming calls that you did not originate. Just be suspicious. You know, we had another one. It was super weird. We had a client who called us on their cell phone while the husband was on the landline. And because they were getting kind of freaked out by this call. They had gotten a call from some sort of, it might have been Publishers Clearinghouse. Now I don't exactly remember. But they were being told that they had won a big prize. But what they had to do was send money to prepay the taxes on this cool prize they'd won.
Red flag.
Red flag. Don't. So you'd never send money to anybody from an incoming call. So this sounded super cool, and they were smart enough to give somebody a call, somebody they trusted. It happened to be us. It could have been a son or a daughter or a trusted friend. But a lot of times phoning a friend makes a ton of sense right when you're in the middle of this. I've had clients say, you know, I'm on the do not call lists. And my answer is, yeah, but scammers don't care about do not call lists. Only legitimate businesses care about do not call lists. So those are really good things to be on, but they're not going to protect you from a scammer.
It's a great
point. So, phone calls.
But it doesn't all happen on phone calls, right?
It doesn't all happen on phone calls. The second one, and it used to be pretty easy to spot these, are bogus emails that come in. And usually with some sort of link attached to them that you're being asked to click on. And that's almost always a really bad thing to do. So it used to be that these emails were pretty easy to spot. They'd have, you know, poor grammar or a bad logo or some misspelled words or something like that. But they have gotten so good over the last 5 or so years, you really need to read them very carefully. My wife, just in the last week, forwarded me an email and said, "This looks really suspicious to me. What do you think?" And I wrote her back and totally agreed that what she was looking at was a phishing email. They were phishing for somebody to click on this email, and hard to know whether that was going to attach itself to our computer or in some way do bad stuff to us. But I think the basic rule is never click on a link in an email, or now even on your cell phone, you can get texts with links embedded in them. Don't click on a link from a sender unless you are totally sure you know who that sender is and what they're sending to you.
This was where my grandparents got into a little bit of trouble. It was with the email side of things. And it was really interesting, David. They're snowbirds, and they were getting ready to head out to Arizona for their three-month stay. And they'd been emailing back and forth with the owner of the property. And then all of a sudden, the owner, and they were discussing how to get payment. And it was all legitimate for a while. And then all of a sudden, the emails changed. And this was the tip-off. They changed their font. It was the weirdest thing. The font of the email was different. And then, you know, and then it wasn't in the same verbiage that previous emails had been in. You know, there were a few more misspellings, which is a common sign and those kinds of things too. And it turned out, I guess somebody had hacked the owner's email account and had taken control of those messages to go back and forth with my grandfather and and was trying to get him to wire money to a different location all of a sudden. And had, you know, kind of like a, ooh, no, now I need you to send it over here. And that was another thing that tipped him off is to, okay, something is fishy here. And so he started getting very nervous about the whole process. And he is a super smart guy, my grandfather is. But, you know, he's been retired for many, many years and is trying to figure out, like, okay, I'm still sort of new to this whole online world. I only have login information to two things, my email and my bank account. So how can we make sure those things are protected? And he was worried that he'd been hacked in the situation by emailing back and forth with this person. So I think we were able to safely determine that, no, you haven't sent him any money, first of all, which is good. And two, it looks like the other person was hacked, not you. But let's change your passwords just to be safe in the different locations. But it really hit home when you saw the worry and the concern on his face trying to figure out, you know, my life savings is behind this password. Like, that's a big deal. And he was very worried about it. So this is not something to cover lightly. It really does happen on an everyday basis.
And the more comfortable you get using your computer, for instance, the more confident you are in your own abilities, which a lot of times is not a good thing.
And so I told him, David, it was really subtle. Actually, I didn't spot it immediately when he was showing me the emails. It took me a second to go, oh, wow. If you were just in an email blitz, you might not have caught that. You know, when it first happened, after he kept prodding a little bit more, it became more and more obvious. But at that first glance, that was a pretty crafty thing.
We had a similar incident with a client last year. Their credit card information got hacked. But in the records that the hackers got, they also got their email addresses. So I started getting an email from a client of mine who wanted to take some money out of her account. And she wanted to have it wired to a bank in, I don't exactly remember now, but it wasn't like the Bahamas. It was a bank in Kentucky or Mississippi or something. And something just smelled a little bit wrong. And so after about two back and forth interchanges, because, you know, supposedly she was at the dentist and she had a mouthful of Novocaine and she couldn't really talk. And finally, I thought, you know what, I'm going to give her a call. And ended up, she goes, no, I'm not at the dentist. I'm at my house. And the hackers had just gotten her email account, coupled it with some emails that evidently they had seen coming back and forth to me, and pieced it all together to say, maybe we can get some money out of this advisor from this woman's account. It was they had done a lot of thinking to get to this point. So they're not just necessarily in it for the quick hits. Now, they went away very quickly after we got all this. But these guys are not unsophisticated anymore. They've become super sophisticated. So you've got to have at least some top-of-mind ways to spot scams. They're not going to be foolproof. I've thought of four of them. They're probably 10. But I think if you can keep these four in mind, it's going to keep you away from a whole lot of the scammers. So I thought these four would be helpful. So the first one is, were you contacted out of the blue? Well, that tends to be an incoming call from somebody you don't know, or an email coming in of a suspicious nature from somebody you don't know. So if you're contacted out of the blue, your antenna should be up immediately. The second thing is, are they asking for personal, non-public information about you? Those would be things like passwords or PINs, or even something we've gotten used to using all the time, which is, what's the last four of your social? That is not information you would want to give out to somebody you don't know exactly who they are. Maybe it's as innocuous as the name of your employer. Well, that gives them one more leg into the possibility of getting into your world. So if they're asking about personal information from you, hang up, delete the email, whichever the mode of communication is, that's a significant indicator that something's wrong. So out of the blue, asking for personal information. The third would be, is there some sort of deadline involved in this, some sort of pressure to act now? You know, when I think back over my life, Walter, I don't know about you, but when I think of the really good decisions that I've made in my life, I can't think of any of them where I was required to make a quick decision or that opportunity would be lost forever.
Right, right. The advice of, why don't you sleep on it before making a choice?
Who thought that up?
Never been bad advice to sleep on it before making a decision, right?
it's just a really good idea. And so if somebody in one of these situations is discussing some artificial deadline or some reason why you have to do something now, bad idea, probably a scam, antenna should be way up, discontinue that communication. And then the fourth one, anytime you're being asked to send money up front is a really bad idea and a super high probability that is a bad guy on the other end of this communication, especially if it's a wire transfer, a money order, a Western Union, or high on the list are you need to get Visa gift cards and send them. Well, talk about stuff that's not traceable and not recoverable. You know, if you buy something online with your credit card and it was a scam or it was a problem or it was defective, you have a lot of remedies and the credit card company is going to work with you hand in glove to figure it out. But if you send a wire transfer, it's not coming back. You're the only person responsible for that. You send a money order, you send out gift cards, that's money that's gone and it is not coming back. So if somebody's asking you to spend money up front for a guarantee or to pay the taxes or pay shipping and handling on a something cool you've won, bad idea. Don't do it. So those are kind of the four ideas that I have as far as spotting a scam. You've got to be super attentive these days because the scammers are out there. They've gotten really good. And now with coronavirus money being sent to millions of Americans, they know you've got money sitting around that you might not have had before. So kind of as a wrap up, I'd say just use super good common sense and be skeptical. If it sounds too good to be true, how many times you heard this from your grandparents, from your parents? If you're a parent, you've probably said this to your kid. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And that is a baseline for everything you'd want to do in this scam area. Verify at the start. Make sure that with these four tips, did it come out of the blue? Well, verify that at start. In your own mind, where did this opportunity come from? And does it smell like a scam? Phone a friend. Don't be afraid to phone a friend. And maybe that is, I'm not going to be pressured to act now. I need to discuss it with someone. Maybe it's our client who got on their cell phone when they're on the landline with the scammer. But ask someone who is not emotionally involved in what you're being asked to do. And then the final is never send money. Just don't do it.
Financial planning, David, should probably be a pretty, and don't take this the wrong way, but it should be a pretty boring job, right? I mean, you meet with clients, you create a stable financial plan, you try to limit the amount of bad surprises that there are. If you're doing your job right, it's a pretty, you know, smooth sailing kind of day. We'll say that instead of boring. But that's sort of the idea of the whole thing. I got to imagine when you got that call and you know you've got a scammer on the other end of the line and you're walking your clients, that's got to be like an exciting day at KC Financial Advisors, right?
It was super exciting and they were still thinking about doing it. And you're like, no, no. Just hang up the other phone. So you see a lot of stuff in a lot of businesses. My businesses particularly, oh my gosh, we see a lot of really interesting things. And as these guys are getting better, you see a lot better tries at people trying to get money out of your and your clients' accounts. So,
and once they get those emotional hooks into you, like they did it sounds like with that client where it was they won money, like who wants to just, well, what if you're wrong, David? That could be real. I mean, they got those emotional hooks in there. They're hard to undo.
Yeah. And if you find yourself out of work right now, unsure as to when your job is going to get ramped up, one of those types of calls might sound particularly attractive to healing over some of the financial wounds that you're going through right now. So be skeptical, phone a friend, verify their authenticity at the start, and never send them money.
That's a great point. The worst of the worst scammers trying to prey on people when they are most vulnerable. And now that's that pool of folks who falls into that definition is even greater than it's ever been before, maybe right now with the coronavirus situation. So a timely episode to talk about these kinds of things, David. And if you need some help analyzing something, if something pops up and you need a second opinion, a voice or a guide to kind of help you figure out, is this legitimate or not? How does this impact my situation? Just somebody that's seen this before and you want a sounding board, reach out to David at 913-317-1414 if you've got any questions. 913-317-1414. And online at coveryourassetskc.com. You can get in touch with us through the website, find past episodes of the podcast, subscribe on your favorite app, and you can also schedule a time to meet as well. Coveryourassetskc.com, the place to go. David, to wrap this episode up, have you ever seen the James Veitch TED Talk on replying to spam?
I have not, but now I'm going to write that down and check it out because you think it must be pretty good.
We're gonna put a link. We'll embed the YouTube video into the show notes of today's episode. So go to Cover Your Assets KC or look for the link in the description of today's show notes in the description, and we'll embed the video or link out to the video of James Veitch. It's a clean comedy sketch that he did as a TED Talk. And he just asked the very basic question, what happens when you reply to the, you know, Nigerian princess needs your money type scam? And he actually follows it down the rabbit hole as far as he can go and just turns the whole thing into messing with the scammer. So it's pretty sweet justice and pretty fun to follow. Very hilarious. I highly recommend. It's like a 10-minute video. It's worth going and watching. So we'll link out to that from the site. It's a good one for sure.
So, Walter, I'm going to check that out. And this is a perfect example of why our listeners need to make sure they listen all the way to
all
the end.
All the way to the end.
Every podcast. You never know what kind of gem is going to come rolling your way.
And I promise this is a good one. Well worth the 10-minute investment for sure. Well, David, thank you for the help. We'll talk. We need it next time we talk. Hopefully you'll have watched that video and we'll chat about it real quick before our next topic comes up. How's that sound?
Sounds pretty great.
Awesome.
Thanks, Walt.
Well, thank you, David. We appreciate it. And thank you for listening and tuning into today's show. For David Dickens, I'm Walter Storholt. Hope you're well, and we'll talk to you again soon, right back here on the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.